I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by Starbucks, the fragrance.
Introducing Starbucks, the fragrance. Wake up and smell like coffee.
Caution, the fragrance you're about to use will make you extremely hot.
In an extraordinary opinion issued from the bench today, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas ruled that he is only three-fifths of a justice. Justice Thomas argued that the original meaning of Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 of the U.S. Constitution, which designated slaves as three-fifths of a person for purposes of taxation and representation, stands, despite the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery and the 14th Amendment establishing equal protection. Justice Thomas.
Article 1 says nothing about the abolition of slavery or equal protection, nor whether they would have changed the framers' minds in establishing the three-fifths clause. Their actual words are what count, not what liberal wishful thinkers claim 230 years on might have been their intention. The Constitution does not evolve. Evolution is a myth. That's why we abolished it last week. Our founding document says in plain English, slaves and their descendants, and I'm proud to count myself among them, are entitled to only three-fifths the representation and taxation of other citizens.
SCOTUS watchers were stunned by the justice's opinion. Radcliffe Professor Emeritus of Law, Chase D. Ambulancia.
I am stunned. Everyone I know is stunned. The entire community of Supreme Court observers, analysts, historians, and bodyguards is stunned. Even Justice Thomas's own law clerks are stunned. In his 20 years on the bench, this is the most words he's ever uttered at one time.
Fox News Legal Beagle, Greta Van Susteren.
I see this as a huge problem for Democrats in the presidential race. Just think, they'll need five, count them five, African Americans to cast every three votes. Do the math. That means 1.65 African Americans to cast one vote, or 3.4 to cast two. Where are you going to get 0.65 or even 0.4 of an African American? Not going to happen. And getting five African Americans to do anything together is like trying to lasso jello. I say we win.
Governor John Kasich of Ohio, speaking at a fundraiser for the Koch brothers' multi-billion dollar new political action committee, Koch PAC, also saw a political upside.
This ruling legally recognizes the dedication of Republicans in Ohio and many other states to limit the black vote in the last three presidential elections by any means necessary. We've used physical intimidation, undercounting, burning ballots, absurd registration requirements, tampering with voting machines, and banning early voting because that's what our great Constitution demands. Cut these people down to size. Three-fifths of us normal people.
Another speaker at Koch PAC was Fox News host Bill O'Reilly.
Well, let me tell you one thing. This ruling certainly applies to Barack Obama. Certainly no more than three-fifths of a president, maybe two-fifths. Hey, don't get me started on Tracy Morgan.
Fellow originalist Justice Scalia, who has just been voted by his fellow justices, the Danny DeVito of the Supreme Court.
I concur with my learned colleague's opinion, and I commend him for his selflessness and courage in standing by his judicial conscience, even at great personal expense. This brilliant ruling underlines that affirmative action is a misguided attempt to add two-fifths back to the three-fifths in flagrant disregard of the framers' wishes. As for all you whiners out there who are hoping this might alter Citizens United, forget about it. Four and three-fifths votes still crushes four.
Of course, the three-fifths clause applies to taxation as well as representation. The Final Edition asked Justice Thomas about this. Justice Thomas, aside from limiting their political representation, doesn't your ruling also limit the tax obligation of African Americans to 3/5 the normal rate?
It certainly does.
So, is that why you haven't paid almost $700,000 in back taxes?
That never crossed my mind.
Rick Santorum scored another major coup today for his come-from-behind presidential campaign. He was endorsed by 16th-century Spain, where he is widely admired. Our Stone Peck took a trip down the space-time continuum to check it out.
I'm standing in the ancient city of Sevilla, although it's not that ancient yet. Everywhere, people are waving brightly colored signs reading, Nos Encanta Ricardo de Pennsylvania. Roughly translated, that's We Love Richard of Pennsylvania. You, senor, who are you and why are you waving that sign?
I am Fray Sebastián de Montoya, Assistant Torturat, second class to His Excellency the Grand Inquisitor. I specialize in the Iron Maiden. She is my main squeeze.
Why the signs?
We are showing our support for Ricardo's strict stand against gays, abortion, condoms, premarital sex, and of course his staunch opposition to Obama the Moor. We love that Ricky has a Latin name. Santorum, Santorum, Santorum. He's a beautiful name. We all wish we could vote for Ricky, but there are no elections in the kingdom of His Most Catholic Majesty, Carlo Primo. Thank God.
Before the primaries, the U.S. presidential race had aroused no interest in the far-flung Spanish Empire, but that changed when Santorum upended frontrunner Mitt Romney in Iowa and swept the February 7th nationwide contests. Santorum fever swept through 16th-century Spanish cities like wildfire. Senora Isabella Pizza was one of the first civilians to jump on the bandwagon. Isabella, describe the excitement that's gripping 16th-century Spain.
In every cathedral across the land now is a beautiful portrait of Blessed Ricardo in the manner of the Hispano-Flemish school. He is shown as a conquistador with his foot on the neck of a horrible, fearsome dragon named Sodomia, which means army. He is so brave, so stiff, so rigid, so Catholic. I would gladly give myself to him if he were not so pure of heart.
Thank you, Isabella Pizza. Yes, sir, you want to say something?
I am Sancho Panza. I'm a lowly knight squire from La Mancha. I just want to say we 16th century Spaniards look at Rick Santorum and see a man whose values are absolutely ours. I just hope he speaks up about rooting out these traitorous Moriscos and conversos and sending them to the auto da fe. Burn their heretical bus!
According to sources in Madrid, His Most Catholic Majesty, Carlos I, has ordered a galleon loaded with pieces of eight to cross the Western Sea and find Santorum campaign headquarters so that 16th century Spain can help put the blessed Ricardo in the White House.
I am El Duque Rick Santorum, and I approve this story.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by...
A cancer institute is funded at your alma mater.
A legendary arts center is endowed in your city.
You say you don't like where the money comes from, but your mom has cancer.
And you're a free spirit who couldn't live without theater.
So here's a question.
If the money gives your mother a new lease on life and makes your life worth living...
Does it really matter where it came from?
I'm David Koch. You're entirely welcome to my brother's money and mine, and there's plenty more where that came from. All we ask in return is that you let us pose a simple question every now and then, like...
Does it really matter where the money came from?
Things really do go better with Coke.
The supreme leader of all campaigns and definer of civilization's future, the Newt Gingrich 2012 presidential campaign, was found dead in the basement of campaign headquarters earlier today. Shortly after the passing was announced, hordes of intensely sobbing Gingrich followers and casino magnates gathered completely spontaneously outside the Gingrich compound in Alexandria, Virginia. It has been hinted by the foreign press that the campaign has been suffering losses for months, particularly in the failure of the Supreme Leader's southern strategy, both west of the Mississippi River and north of the Mason-Dixon demilitarized zone, and that this might be to blame for the campaign's demise. The crowd's grief was deafening. Mr. and Mrs. Gingrich, stunningly vapid in a pair of Tiffany's morning earrings, appeared at the balcony. In a joint statement, the Gingriches insisted that the campaign's sole heir and successor was the young entity known as Gingrich Productions. The official statement also decreed that it was the specific wish of the most honorable deceased campaign that death not be mentioned, but rather the legally binding term suspended in supreme immortality, in deference to those true devotees who believe its eminence will rise again to its exalted place atop our lives.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour. For more satire with teeth, visit thefinaledition.com.
Turning 360 degrees to focus on the campaign, the drop in unemployment and solid Wall Street gains should be good news for Barack Obama. But not so fast, Republicans are saying. This is actually good news for them, because Barack Obama has not really been president. We're joined now by Speaker of the House, John Boehner, for more. Speaker Boehner, thanks for coming onto the show.
Well, thanks for not fighting the court order.
Certainly. Mr. Speaker, why are Republicans denying that Barack Obama has been president this whole time?
It's not a denial, it's a fact. Barack Obama has never been president, and everyone has always known this. And I think the onus is on you people to prove otherwise.
Well, then if he's not president, who is?
Well, don't play dumb. The corporate bailouts, the strong defense policies, the slowdown in government spending, this has obviously been the work of a moderate Republican, and that Republican's name is Mitt Romney.
But wait, Barack Obama was elected in 2008.
He ran that year, sure. But Mitt Romney won and has been president ever since. And don't pretend like you don't know.
But in the newspapers, the States of the Union, those have all been Barack Obama.
And you believe the lamestream media? It's been Mitt.
So Mitt Romney is running for re-election.
And I think he merits it, don't you? This president has a list of accomplishments that any Republican leader would envy. He caught Osama bin Laden, for God's sakes.
Okay. So what you're saying, basically, is that things are going well in America.
Well, of course. This president, this Republican president, saved the auto industry. Employment is improving as well as could be expected, considering the hole we were left in by Bill Clinton. You could only get that from an experienced business mind like Mitt Romney.
Well, some of that is sort of true.
If some of it's sort of true, it's all sort of true.
So, Mr. Speaker, your message is basically, stay the course.
All true. Re-elect President Romney.
It's time for Obituaries!
Individual Final Editions.
Marie-Claire Renault, psychic pioneer, will die at 74. Miss Renault, one of the world's first celebrity psychics, will die in an automobile accident on the Upper West Side next Wednesday. In 1968, Marie-Claire Renault emigrated from Paris to California. Needing to pay for a series of immigration attorneys, Ms. Renault, a beautiful, alluring, open young woman, began charging drug-addled men $5 in order to...
read your aura?
She'd found her calling. It was during this period that she took the name...
Madame G.
Miss Renault soon focused her practice on selling inspirational generalities to the distraught and confused. There was usually no sex, except for a series of television executives, and in 1968, she made her first of many broadcast appearances on the Ed Sullivan Show. In recent years, she has correctly predicted 9/11,
a Tower of Babel descends,
the subprime mortgage crisis,
a fool and his money are soon parted,
and the need for Justin Timberlake.
Wither the sexy.
On a recent evening, Miss Renault was casually browsing discarded tea leaves when she had a vision of a teenage girl hitting her with an SUV at 89th and Broadway next Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. She will leave behind a beloved French poodle, a Riverside Avenue two-bedroom with park views,
and however much of my savings I can't spend in a week.
We can have sex on the beach where the ocean surrounds us. Might get a little awkward with children swimming all around us, but I will get off.
Then I'll take you home, and in my parents' bed we will screw. Got to do it doggy style like my mom and stepdad do, where I always get off.
I'll take you to a Turkish bath, and we'll make love once again. 180 degrees of hot sex in front of grown men.
I'm the king. Just one thing, awkward sex. You can think of it as a superpower when I'm tapping it in a public shower. And I'll take you overseas on a spiritual search. And I won't use a condom, dude, because I'll hit it in a Catholic church. And hallelujah, I got off.
If something were to happen to your legs and they had to amputate, God forbid, I would bang you in a wheelchair as proof I do not discriminate, and I will get off.
On my spiral staircase, all the things I'll do to you. And you'll never forget it, darling, because I hired a film crew.
When you have my baby, remember what I said.
There are so many positions we can do in a hospital bed.
I'm the king. Just one thing, awkward sex on a pool table. Honey, I'm able. In an elevator, on an escalator, in a hot tub, Mile High Club. I'm the king of awkward sex. And I just got all God.
Now the final edition's finance feature, Money or Die. In the wake of its $5 billion IPO, Facebook plans to build still more value with its most far-reaching innovation yet, Facebook Unconscious. Facebook CEO, sole founder, and creator, Mark Zuckerberg.
Facebook Unconscious will be a game changer of epic proportions. It provides robust new engagement with users by directly accessing their innermost thoughts and dreams.
Company spokesbots have been touting Facebook Unconscious's potential up and down Wall Street. Dennis Lee is Facebook's chief status update officer.
Imagine, FU will create the first truly honest status updates in social networking history. For example, when a man identified as being in a relationship with a woman lists his status as "can't wait for glee tonight," the software translates that to "can't wait to get sex by pretending to enjoy glee tonight." Or, when you browse another person's photos, FU figures out your real motivation and automatically streamlines your search into "has gotten fatter since high school" or "nudes."
The big question on everyone's lips is how Facebook can delve this deep into its half-billion users' minds. Nigel Chin, Facebook's chief mind-delving officer, explains.
So actually, FU doesn't delve into users' so-called minds. It works by picking up these neurochemical signals that are emitted by electrolyte-rich bodily fluids, So, basically, anything you excrete on or near your computer or your spittle when you're Skyping or a gunk on your fingers or under your fingernails from, say, picking a zit or micrometric detritus falling out of your nose is our data mine.
FU is, of course, a breakthrough for advertisers and their ad agencies. Maurice de Gaulle, Chief Explanation Officer for global French agency conglomerate Publicis.
How can we use this formidable new information to the max? I tell you, my buddy. We can use this formidable new information about customers' innermost fears and cravings to craft the most precise ultra-personal pitch. For example, drink Pepsi Max, Billy. It's the next best thing to getting your dead brother Henry back.
Ever sensitive to the issue of privacy, Zuckerberg is quick to reassure his enormous global community.
There's absolutely no obligation to use FU. It will be a default feature of your Facebook account, but you can opt out of it with a simple 3,147 alterations to your privacy settings. But I'm optimistic that FU is what the consumers want, whether they know they want it or not. And if they don't, they soon will, with next month's release of Facebook Inception.
The final edition is brought to you by Jet Drone, America's finest unmanned air travel. What can you expect from our first-class non-piloted aircraft? Let's listen in on a typical recent international flight.
Hello, and thank you for flying Jet Drone. The captain has turned off the no spying sign. Please feel free to roam about Afghanistan. If you look to your right, you'll see American foreign policy. If you look to your left, you'll see nothing, because there is no left in American foreign policy. We'll be making one perfunctory stop in Kabul and several hundred unauthorized stops in Pakistan, with connecting flights to Oblivion, Kingdom Come, and Newark.
Jet Drone. When you need to be there in a hurry, and you don't need to be there at all.
International law may not apply.
It's time for Obituaries!
Individual final editions.
Alexander Kerensky, 130, dies again. Alexander Kerensky, a moderate socialist politician who briefly presided over the Russian Duma in the turbulent period immediately preceding the revolution of 1917 before being rudely ousted by the Bolsheviks, has died for the second time. He had earlier died in 1970.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, Satire with Teeth. For your fill of brilliant, cutting, and outrageous articles, images, videos, and laughs, visit thefinaledition.com at least once a day. Today's episode was brought to you by actors Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, Anne Tuchel, John Marshall, Jeff Kreisler, and Tony Hendra. The writers were Peter Kleiman, Jay Welch, Louis Grossberger, Rob Kuttner, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Fran Langham, Roy Rivenberg, Jeff Kreisler, and Tony Hendra. Music provided by Stuckey and Murray. Our engineers were Giselle Hernandez and Greg Russ, and the producers of the Final Edition Radio Hour are Jeff Kreisler and Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC. Copyright 2012.